Immigrant workers are some of the most vulnerable workers in the United States right now, but not just in terms of their housing. When it comes to sexual violence in the workplace, immigrant women often go unheard. In October, millions of women took matters into their own hands and began sharing their individual experiences with sexual assault and harassment using the hashtag MeToo.
Sexual assault and harassment survivors are sharing their stories online.
It happened to me too.
Me too.
It happened to me too.
The movement rose in the wake of sexual misconduct allegations against high-powered film producer Harvey Weinstein by Salma Hayek, Lupita Nyong'o, and many more. But other stories of sexual assault, from janitors who worked the night shifts to the farm workers in the apple orchards of Washington State, are yet to be heard. Bernice Jung, a reporter from Reveal, from the Center for Investigative Reporting, writes about these unheard experiences of sexual assault in her forthcoming book, In a Day's Work. And she joins me in the studio. Bernice Jung, thank you so much for joining us on Latino USA.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've written a book that is all about trying to end sexual violence against America's most vulnerable workers. When did you first say, you know what, this is something that I want to talk about?
We've actually been looking at this issue since about 2012. We first started looking at farm workers, and from that work, we were told by a government attorney that this was a serious issue among farm workers, but also among night shift janitors. And so then from there, we turned our attention to night shift janitors. It's an issue that is pervasive among any job, really, but also workers, particularly who are laboring in isolation, you know, on the night shift in an empty building, in an empty field, far away from others, domestic work, any of those jobs can make somebody particularly vulnerable.
I'm wondering if you can talk about what happened in the story of the Evans Fruit plant in Sunnyside, Washington.
Evans Fruit is one of the largest apple producers in the country, and they've got several orchards that span the Yakima Valley in eastern Washington. And in one of the particular orchards, there was a foreman there named Juan Marin. He had a lot of influence over whether people could be hired or fired, and he exploited that. So in the case of Evans Fruit, there was a 16-year-old who went to work with her mother one season, and her mother was concerned about the rumors of sexualized workplace in the orchard, and so she insisted that her daughter work near her. But that only allowed her to observe some of the ways in which he was sexually harassing her daughter, you know, cuddling up against her and at various points saying he wanted to have multiple children with her. So the mother of the 16-year-old, Angela Mendoza, just, you know, couldn't abide. It was so upsetting to her to see her daughter treated this way. She, along with her daughter, went to the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission and made a claim and said, this is just not acceptable. And then really from there, it was a snowball effect. So then the government started to investigate this claim, and some 14 women eventually came forward to testify that they had been sexually harassed at Evans Fruit. Ultimately, it went to a trial, and it didn't turn out the way that a lot of the women workers had hoped.
And the result was what?
The jury found in favor of the company. I think it was difficult for a lot of the women in that case. Some remain, I think, very frustrated by the outcome. It also did result in some unexpected changes. It at least brought this issue to the attention of the industry. In the reporting that we did, we looked at all of the cases against agricultural employers involving sexual harassment and farm workers. And we found that there were about 40-something of them in the last 15 years. So these are cases brought by the federal government. And none of them had resulted in any kind of criminal prosecution.
But I guess I'm wondering if there was something, I mean, was this purely journalistic for you, or was there something that you reported on once, or your family or your community, that kind of stuck with you?
I think I'm particularly interested in immigrant women because my parents were immigrants. And so it's a community that I connect with. And I understand, I think, as a second generation Asian American, that there's a lot that you have to learn as a newcomer. All the rules are different and foreign. And so when something as terrible as sexual harassment happens to you, and very extreme sexual harassment, as in the case of the people that we covered, it's confusing and confounding and scary and all of those things, as it is to anyone. But then you layer on top of that just the fact that you don't know where to turn. You don't know what the laws are. I think I really was drawn to this story for that reason.
Can you describe, like, the systems that essentially keep these women workers so incredibly vulnerable? There are a few of them that a lot of these women share, right? Like, for example, isolation.
Right. Isolation is so often used as a weapon against these workers. We hear about women in empty office buildings who get attacked in supply closets or bathrooms where the supervisor knows there will be no security cameras.
I don't know if I'm ever going to look at a woman cleaning an office past midnight in the same way ever again. You know, now it's like, wow, what did she have to go through just to get through her shift? Was that part of what you were saying? Is like, look, I want to paint a picture of what these invisible women look like.
I think invisible is the exact perfect word. I think that these women are not seen. And then not only are they not seen, they're purposefully made invisible. Why else are they cleaning in the middle of the night? Why can't they clean in the middle of the day and work like we all do? You know, they don't want the work to be seen and they don't want these workers to be seen. It just makes it so much easier for this type of harassment and violence to happen and for no one to know about it.
Oftentimes you think of the abuse happening by men in positions of power against women who don't have power. But there's also a situation where you have immigrant men who themselves might be vulnerable, but who they are attacking other immigrant women. How common is that?
I think what it is, what it really speaks to, this phenomenon, is anyone with a modicum of power who wants to exploit it, you know, they will and they can. It's somebody who's gotten some power, maybe a different kind of power, maybe a kind of power that is less recognizable than, say, Harvey Weinstein. But it's a guy who can hire and fire. And this is the power that gets exploited by these supervisors.
Because essentially what they're figuring is that the women who they're assaulting, they're thinking nobody cares, right?
They're thinking no one cares. They're thinking that even if some people might care, these women will never say anything because there's too much at stake, being deported, losing the job. And then they also figure that they probably won't have the language abilities to go to the police or go to the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. And also, you know, who's going to believe them? And they tell them, these supervisors tell the women that you will not be believed. Who will believe you? You're an undocumented immigrant. And that's a very compelling and unfortunate lie.
Recently, Oprah Winfrey even mentioned the farm worker women, the campesinas, and the kind of abuse that they've had to face.
Gratitude to all the women who have endured years of abuse and assault because they, like my mother, had children to feed and bills to pay and dreams to pursue. They're the women whose names we'll never know. They are domestic workers and farm workers.
And no one was really thinking of them in the whole context of hashtag Me Too. How does that happen?
I think there's something obviously about the women who are coming forward through the Me Too movement being famous, being celebrities, and also the men that they're accusing being powerful. And I think there's an element of it where we like to see powerful people fall. We find famous people relatable. So I think those are some of the reasons that they've gotten so much attention. I think that in talking to some of the janitors and farm workers that we've covered in the past, it's interesting to hear their reaction because they're so proud that this is getting as much traction and attention. Again, proud of the women who have stepped forward now. But they're also asking the question, you know, why hasn't anyone paid attention to me when we tried to speak up, when we have spoken up?
So finally, Bernice, what do you want people to take away from the work that you've done in this book?
One thing I really tried to think about was how I could represent the empowerment and the power of the women who shared their stories. And I understand and I know deeply that there are so many who could not share their stories with us for very powerful reasons. But for those who did come forward, it was amazing because almost all of them, unprompted, would say, you know, I'm doing this because I don't want this to happen to anybody else. And they really took risks and stepped outside the bounds, whether it was file a lawsuit or go to a rally or testify for legislation or whatever it was that they did. They wanted to use their own experience, that terrible experience that had happened to them, for some kind of positive altruistic purpose. I think that's just amazing. And I really wanted people to meet some of these women so that they could see how, in the face of really horrific violence, they have still, you know, maintained such humanity.
Bernice Young, thank you so much for your work and for speaking with us on Latino USA.
Thank you so much.
Bernice Young is a reporter from Reveal, from the Center for Investigative Reporting. Her book, In a Day's Work, The Fight to End Sexual Violence Against America's Most Vulnerable Workers, comes out this May.